This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
Welcome to Goodfellas Minute 135.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care.
This is Goodfellas Minute 135. The only podcast where we analyze the Martin Scorsese film one De Niro down-pointing, table-tapping gesture at a time.
So that's good.
Well, that's Matt Gourley. He's our special guest. I'm Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
And Josh Flanagan.
Minute 134 starts with a little more quiet conversation at the dinner and ends with, I'm going to go ahead with an English muffin.
Wait, I had the number wrong? God damn it.
Yeah, it's 135.
Actually, that was me who got it wrong.
Oh, good.
So let's quickly talk about the English muffin. Let's get that out of the way. The fun fact for this minute is that the English muffin was invented by Samuel Bath in 1880. He had moved from Plymouth, England to New York City, opened a bakery on 163 9th Avenue, and started selling these muffins that were thinner than normal. And then he started cutting them in half and then baking them like that so that you could easily pull them apart. And they became the English muffins.
I didn't hear England in anywhere in that.
He was from Plymouth, England.
Well.
So it's like basically the same logic that we apply to our mafia names to the English muffin. They're like, well, he's from England. Call it an English muffin.
Yes.
Tommy Muffins.
Tommy Muffins. Sammy Muffins. Sammy Muffins. That was his name.
Save it. Save it.
So that's your fun fact. That's where the English muffin came from. I love an English muffin.
Me too.
I literally have not had an English muffin for maybe 20 years.
I have to stop myself from eating an entire package of English muffins.
Oh, I want one right now so bad.
So bad.
I have English muffins. They're like 4 feet away from me. I can make one right now.
Oh, don't.
Here's the problem with the English muffin.
Yeah.
The fancy ones, the whole wheat ones, the healthier ones, cost twice as much as just the regular white bread ones, which tastes better. So you just buy the cheap ones that taste better anyway.
That's the problem with food in general.
That's it. All right, we've solved that. Why don't we talk about this movie instead?
All right.
This is the moment that Joshy started alluding to yesterday's minute, where after talking to Henry about his case for about maybe 10 seconds, Jimmy goes into the story about how there's a kid who's going to rat him out and he's hiding out of Florida. And then he says, will you go down and take care of him?
Is that what he means by pointing down? It's so specific. He means Florida?
Yeah.
South is down to him.
No, yeah, like, I could not put that together. Why is he tapping the table and pointing down? Like, so specifically, like, he's under the table right now.
Yeah. That's where Florida is, though. Florida's down. It's south.
Yeah, I know.
He's not sending to Canada.
Yeah,
I like to point out that that's another good Jimmy Conway hand gesture right there.
Yeah,
we thought we were done. So Henry is concerned about this because in all their years of working together, Jimmy has never asked Henry to do a hit, and here he's asking him to take somebody out. And we get the freeze frame. We get two freeze frames. We get freeze frame
right in a row
on Jimmy, and then freeze frame on Henry, where Henry says, "That's when I realized that I would never come back from Florida. Like, that's when they were going to kill him." This actually happened. This is true to the book. Jimmy and Henry did meet up, and Jimmy told Henry that he wanted him to go to Florida. It wasn't to. It was less about whacking somebody and more about making money down there. But what was interesting was that it wasn't so much the going to Florida that got Henry upset. It was the fact that Jimmy and Henry were meeting, and he says, "I'll go down to Florida. We'll meet on Wednesday at this bar to talk about it." And it was a bar in Sunnyside on Queens Boulevard owned by Charlie the Jap. So there you go.
And, it's okay if he's saying somebody else's nickname.
Right.
I know. Mostly.
And what nationality was he?
I think he was Scandinavian. Okay. So to quote Henry from the book Wise Guy directly, he says, "I'd never heard of the place. I've been operating with Jimmy for 25 years. We've been in 1,000 bars together in Queens. We spent 6 years in the can together, and suddenly he wants to meet me in a bar I've never seen before."
Right.
So it was less about going to Florida, more in real life. It was about Jimmy wanting to have a meeting at a strange bar, and Henry knew that that's when they were going to do it, you know, try to whack him.
If he could figure it out that easily, why would Jimmy have – it does seem like obvious.
Jimmy's not very subtle.
That's
Jimmy's
true.
Not good at this.
Yeah,
this part.
He's not a scalpel. He's a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Jimmy's really good at things that are direct.
Right. Yep.
Steal that truck. Okay. Kill that guy. You got it.
Does
to be sort of like subtle? He can't do it. Can't have it.
Yeah.
I can't have it.
On the house. Sorry.
I'm improvising, but I can't have it. I won't do it. I can't.
I feel like
it.
Out of everybody, you're the one who's the most close to ruining this movie for us.
Can I have it? The answer is no.
I can't.
I can't do it. It can't be done. There's no way.
What's the matter with you?
So
that's also really fun to do. So he'll also be ruining the show just because we will get into that tick mode.
Yeah.
I'll make the face again.
Me too.
Ron, which Anthony was he going to send it down with?
Stabile.
Yes, is Stabile still alive? He made it through the Lufthansa purge?
Yes, it's Anthony Stabile. That's who I can never remember when the DA played Henry the tapes of Jimmy and Angelo Seppi, and I know as always says, and somebody else, it's been Stabile. It was always Stabile.
What happens to Stabile
all
along? What's his fate?
That's a good question.
God, that was way back in like minute 12.
I don't. Anthony Stabile is like he's kind of like the Forrest Gump of the crew. I feel like
he gets a lot. He's heavily featured in the book,
yes.
But he's sort of a footnote in the movie. So I don't know.
It's important to note that he died in 1985.
Yep.
And he was basically in 1985. He was found shot in the head, gangland execution style, in the trunk of his burning Cadillac in Prospect Park, Brooklyn.
Yeah, in the park.
Yeah. Not only did they shoot him, but then they put him in the car and lit the car on fire.
Jeez. He was also a Gambino. He wasn't part of the Lucchese's like they were.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Mm.
But he was also, if the spider incident actually happened, he was at the card game. Mm. Anthony Stabile, ladies and gentlemen.
Shane?
Shane?
Anthony. He's a big boy.
Sorry. I'm just saying that. And now it's like 135 episodes to where we just start randomly quoting the movie.
Yeah, I never stopped in my head.
We're so close to the end.
we're gonna get to that point where we don't talk about the movie and we just say lines from it. You remember when he did this? That's going to be the credits episode.
Yeah.
So here's the question. If Jimmy doesn't overplay his hand here, does he not actually blow it and get to kill Henry?
And I have another question. If this is in fact true that Jimmy's going to kill him here, does that mean that Karen's paranoia is founded? Like, she was going to be killed there? Or had he decided that after she came to visit?
Well, he spurned her about the dresses, so everybody's fucked.
Maybe that's what set it off. He just was so upset she wouldn't take the dresses.
He went out of his way to have these dresses ready for her. He knew she was going to
Nah.
He had to clear out an area in the swag storage for them, and so when she just took off without even it was a rude takeoff, so now everybody has to die.
Yeah, it wasn't Lufthansa, it was this
tough world.
Ron, what are your thoughts?
I don't know.
I love how you just want to give them benefit of the doubt every chance you can.
Yeah, they were just hardworking guys. That's all they are.
Does he want to kill Henry, or does it upset him?
I think
Tommy died, he was very upset about it.
No. Okay, so here's the thing. He has to kill Henry. He knows he has to kill Henry because any time anyone has ever threatened Jimmy in any capacity, he has killed them.
Yeah,
they're dead.
Yeah.
I think the minute that happens, he's already dead to him. So killing him doesn't affect him anymore because he already is turned to the dark side, and like it's almost an affront to him. And
but is Jimmy in danger?
Yes.
So say that Henry. Okay, wait though. Say Henry doesn't feel threatened. Henry's a stand-up guy. Henry's not going to turn. They don't think he is. Like Paulie doesn't think he is.
Right.
So is it Jimmy's paranoia that forces Henry's hand?
That's what I mean. That's the extension of this. So if Jimmy doesn't try to kill Henry, or at least doesn't start to try to kill Henry, does Henry turn?
No.
I don't know. He's looking at serious.
There's something
time.
About when Jimmy knows he's all messed up on drugs when he delivers those guns, and he's like, "What's going on with you?" You know, I think he senses something different.
And,
yeah.
Well, yeah. And again, I keep going back to the tapes that the DA played for Henry when he was in jail.
Right.
Was that those recordings of Jimmy and Angelo Seppi and Anthony Stabile talking about whacking Henry happened before the arrest?
Yeah, I think he'd kill him, and I think I'm going hard for the Karen dies hashtag.
Wow,
You guys have to vote this episode.
Is Karen? But Karen.
Karen lives.
That's if she dies there that day.
That's
not if he was going to kill her at all. So you're saying he had planned to kill her that day.
Yeah, that's where I'm 70% on that side.
I feel like I've lost somebody who was on my side.
Wow.
Oh, shit. All right, I'm back. She lives.
That was easy.
Nope, she's gone.
She lives.
No, but Ron, those tapes, that's real life stuff.
I can't do it.
That's real life, yeah.
So from the movie perspective.
I can't do it. Right. I can't do it.
He's caught in the De Niro loop.
I can't do it. I can't.
None of us can touch him. It's remote.
I can't. Somebody. Will you call my girlfriend, tell her to come in a room. I can't do it.
Listen, sweetheart.
So, Ron, not counting the tapes, which don't exist in the film world.
Right.
In this world, do you think Henry still turns even if they don't try to whack him? He's looking at serious time this time. He's not just going in for a few years for whatever he did before. This is drug trafficking at a big level, interstate drug trafficking. He's got no money.
Right.
They're not going to take care of his kids.
Yeah.
He's already said, Karen, we're dead.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, without that, though, does he believe in the code? Is there anybody?
Clearly, he doesn't.
Right. Well, I'm going to say, is there anybody who actually believes in the code to their own detriment? So when they're confronted, because it seems like when these guys get to the part where they're pinned up against the wall, then all of a sudden, the code's bullshit. You can rat. At least, they think for themselves they have to. You know who didn't? Billy Batts.
Well, he died.
No, but he did. He did.
Oh yeah, he did his time. Yeah, he did his time, and now he wants what should be coming to him.
You know what? Kind of don't blame him.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that's another example of the dissolution of the mafia, 1950s, 1960s, as we got into the 80s, and drugs become apparent, killing made guys, just like the breakdown of the system if the mafia existed.
You had different guys because everyone prior to that were, they were like World War II vets. They'd been through all of that stuff.
Right.
As you get into the later generations, they weren't.
Yeah,
they didn't have the same sense of I want to say almost community. Like, because earlier they were Italians. They were not even they weren't like Americans in the same sense. They only had each other, so that meant more.
They were mustache Pete's.
Yeah,
they were mustache Pete's.
But going back to the original question, I think that Jimmy tips his hand to Henry, and that helps put Henry over about turning witness because he realizes he's got no other chance. I'm more fascinated by how Henry has been able to stay alive.
Yeah.
Where no one has been safe from Jimmy over the years, like not even his best friend, and somehow Henry has been able to avoid this wrath. That's more amazing than anything.
So does that indicate? Well, he knows Jimmy really well. So if anybody was going to, Tommy would be the only other one. Maybe Anthony Stabile, but we don't spend any significant time with him. He knows Jimmy well enough that he could avoid that, or does that indicate that Jimmy is reticent in some way?
Ah, this is a gray area.
Isn't it great?
Well, yeah, it really is.
His skill seems to be staying alive. I mean, he lived for many decades after this, having given up an entire crew.
Yeah.
He just may be good at it, or maybe they're bad at it.
Yeah.
Maybe their reputation is larger than it actually is.
When he went on to do all this, like the book and everything, just everyone was dead or incarcerated at that point that he didn't feel threatened. I don't understand, because wasn't Jimmy Conway still in jail? And you'd think he would still have some reach to get him. It was pretty bold.
Well, but the thing is, at that point, he was in jail for at least 5 years. And what have we learned is when they go to jail, everything falls apart and they lose their power.
Yeah. Plus, Jimmy would call up and he would say, "Hey, Henry, can you come to this abandoned warehouse so we can talk about your legal issues? There won't be any guns for killing you." And I can't go, "All right, fine." He's not subtle.
Yeah. Fascinating. It's a good question, Connor, as to whether or not Henry, if this doesn't happen, if Henry doesn't turn.
I still think he does.
Everybody make the call. So, Connor, think he turns? Ron?
Hashtag Henry turns.
Hashtag Henry turns. Hashtag Henry doesn't. I think Henry turns. Between Paulie and Jimmy, he was dead.
So. He was done.
He was done. Yep.
I think he turns anyway.
Matt, where do you vote?
I think he turns, too.
Okay.
So Henry's a born rat, is what I'm hearing.
I think he's against the wall. He's gotten no money. He's living a serious time. And
Hang on. That's going to be in a future minute when Henry gets confronted with being a rat.
All right. I see what you're getting at. Well, still, we're talking about it.
But. Yeah.
Anything else for this minute?
I want to just, like, as they end this minute and we pull out and we're seeing them just sort of chat. We're not really hearing it. So we're just seeing their gestures and everything. Their acting is great here. The body language is, these are men who have broken up. Like, all of the affection between them is gone, and you can see it sort of between them, like they're just making chit chat. It's very different than everything else we've seen in this movie from them. It's really well done. I liked it.
And we get the zoom out that we talked about already, but this is the dolly zoom out. Yeah. The nice bookend to the scene.
It is. And it's a nice bookend to my week on Goodfellas Minute.
Goodfellas Minute.
The fuck count quickly before we wrap up is 0 for the day, 1 for the week, and 306 for the film so far.
All right.
It's a nice cushion.
It's a rather genteel week.
Yeah. Genteel.
Old Southern gentleman.
I thought it was a stabile week.
No, that's a lot more cursing.
Oh, all right. Well, it sounds like we're wrapping up, but we still have work to do, right?
Yes, we do.
That is, of course, going to do it for all the content here in minute 135. But before we go, we have to give out a couple of mop names, obviously. And how do we get those? How do you get to be part of this? Well, you go to goodfellowsminute.com/support, where you would find a link to Amazon, but you would also find a link to Patreon, or more directly, patreon.com/GFM. And if you contribute at a certain level of $5 a month or more, we will bestow you with a mob name. And we got a couple of new members to put into the books tonight. And so let's get started, because this is super fun. First up, Andrew Marshall.
One thing I want to mention before we start is that, strangely enough, both of these guys gave us information about them to help with the mob nicknames.
Oh.
Oddly, they both did it.
I don't want it.
That has not gone well in the past.
Do you want to know where Andrew's from?
All right, let's hear. Where's Andrew from?
Sea Caucus.
Andrew the Jap.
Oh.
Andrew the Jap.
And that's okay, because he's just making a joke to an earlier one.
All right, so he's from Secaucus.
Yes.
There you go. That Secaucus doesn't work with his name, though. Andrew Secaucus, that doesn't do good.
Right. Weeds.
Yeah, Weeds. Andrew the Weeds.
Andrew Weeds.
Andrew Weeds. Yes.
Weeds Marshall.
Yep. Weeds.
Andrew Weeds.
All right. Unanimous. Andrew Weeds Marshall. But the Mafia name generator on the internet disagrees.
Yes.
According to the Mafia name generator, Andrew would be Cosimo Rubberface, which I feel like
that's a Dick Tracy character.
I feel like that's a dupe too. I feel like we've gotten Cosimo Rubberface.
Cosimo Rubberface is all right.
Sometimes the name generator is good, sometimes not so much.
I like how you point out that it doesn't agree, because what an amazing coincidence it would be if it did.
I'm honestly, we've got 2 more weeks of the show. I'm hoping it happens sooner or later.
Well, Cosimo Rubberface was down my list. It wasn't on the top.
The next one up is Ken Moss.
And Connor, what did he provide for us in terms of information?
He is a middle school history teacher and a DJ.
Neither of those things are going to help in this effort.
Everyone's a DJ. I'm not. Yeah, DJ, there's not... That's a opposite nicknaming thing. Stratum.
All right, well, Ken Moss.
But you said he's a teacher, huh?
Yeah.
The professor?
The professor?
Professor big, Moss?
Big nose.
Specs.
Specs.
Specs Moss?
Books.
I kind of like Specs Moss.
Kenny Specs?
Kenny Specs is good. Hey, Kenny Specs is
here.
There we go. Kenny Specs.
And he gets some De Niro glasses for him.
Kenny Specs. Yeah. Kenny Specs. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the Mafia name generator also disagrees. Ken Moss would be known as Busted Kneecaps Tony.
Jeez.
So, there you go. Not a good week for the Mafia nickname generator.
Has it been a good run at all for the Mafia nickname generator?
Yeah, what's going on at home, Mafia name generator? Everything okay?
I feel like early on it gave us a lot of promise.
Yep.
And then it just started repeating itself over and over again. Not unlike Robert De Niro, star of the film Goodfellas.
I can't do it. Can't do it.
I just can't do it. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't be done. I won't do it. Can't do it. I'm not gonna do it.
I'm gonna miss that most of all.
I'll do it. Just kidding. I can't do it.
Damn it. Thought I had him. So that is going to do it for 135. And come back on Monday for minute 136 because 2 hours plus into this movie, we're not done. Until then, you can check us out on Twitter at GoodfellasMin and on Instagram and Facebook at GoodfellasMin. And you can find all our episodes over at GoodfellasMinute.com. Are you going to do that, Matt?
Find all your minutes over at GoodfellasMinute.com?
Yeah, can you do that?
I already have.
Oh, you're supposed to. Oh, worst improv.
Oh.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
I just did some De Niro style improv. Wait, what? That couldn't have been a clearer setup. That couldn't have been clearer. You set that up so easy for me.
And I'm left wondering, what did I do wrong?
Can I do improv? I can't do it. I can't do improv. I can't do it.
You can email us at contact@goodfellasminute.com. If you like podcasts, you like comic books, you can go over to ifanboy.com. You can listen to our weekly podcast on comic books. And, of course, make sure to check out StarWarsMinute.com, where they set this format up and we stole it. And then we also stole Matt, who was on their show also and does a hell of an Irvin Kershner. Matt, do you have anything else to give us for the week?
Just check out my new podcast, I Can't Do It, and it just doesn't even exist or get posted.
You can't do it.
Can't do it.
Goodbye.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to
this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged and this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also like, one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.